This is Fresh Air. I'm Barbara Bogave. Summer is the time for travel, and book critic Maureen Corrigan has a few recommendations for some armchair travels through time.
Usually I'm the one desperately shouting out summer reading suggestions to my students on the last day of class as they're making a break for the door, many of them in a rush to get to the campus bookstore to sell all the books they allegedly just read for my course. But that situation was somewhat reversed recently when I got a letter from an old student making one of the most persuasive reading recommendations I've ever received. Knowing of my native daughter's love for New York City, this former student sent me a brand new copy of Jack Finney's 1970 cult classic, Time and Again. Other people have recommended this novel to me over the years, but they've never done so in an eloquent three-page letter. My old student said the novel shaped his view that the only thing cooler than New York City was the New York City of the past. He said he thought I would be as amazed by this novel as he was each time he read it. He was right. Time and Again became my first read of this summer, the perfect summer novel, in fact, because it's old and therefore in paperback, and because it's deftly crafted, suspenseful, emotionally absorbing, and totally escapist. Actually, the first thing that surprised me about the novel was the list, opposite the title page, of other stories written by Finney. I didn't know he wrote that classic tale of terror, Invasion of the Body Snatchers. I've only seen the movie versions, so I don't know how his original story compares, but its horrifying premise, that people you love can change overnight into strangers, extends beyond sci-fi fantasy into the chill reality of relationships changed by the fast-acting agents of betrayal, sickness, and old age. Finney wrote that story, originally entitled The Body Snatchers, in 1955, and he was irritated until his death in 1995 by critics who read it as a Cold War allegory dramatizing America's fear of communist infiltration. I think, in Time and Again, Finney responded to those critics because the novel contains an explicit anti-military, anti-big government message. The plot revolves around the time travel adventures of an advertising artist named Cy Morley, who participates in a government project that transports him back to New York City in the winter of 1882. Time and Again may be classified dismissively as genre fiction, but I don't think I've read any other novel or history, including The Alienist and E.L. Doctorow's Waterworks, that's made New York of the 19th century come so vividly alive in my mind. Here's a passage where Morley describes a nighttime elevated train ride through Lower Manhattan. There were lights, thousands of them, but of no brightness. They were gas lights, most of them, white at this distance and almost steady, but there was candlelight too, and I supposed kerosene. No colors, no neon, nothing to read, just a vast blackness pricked with lights. That vision of a darkened and alien New York City gives me the chills, just like the idea of pod people does. Time and again, like all good fantasy fiction, makes the familiar strange and the strange familiar. Like my old student said, read it and you'll be amazed. My other two summer novel recommendations aren't time travel tales, but they're set, at least partly, in the past, and so give a reader that vacation sensation of having left home for far-off places. The appropriately titled Last Days of Summer by Steve Kluger is a 1998 novel now out in paperback. It's set in Brooklyn of the 1940s and ingeniously tells its story of a lonely 9-year-old juvenile delinquent named Joey Margolis, mostly through letters, telegrams, newspaper clippings, and report cards. Like Time and Again, it's chock full of period detail. But here, the obsessive references to antiquities like Nathan's Hot Dogs, the New York Giants, and the old Paramount Theater are used to mostly comic effect. Last Days of Summer is as sweet and ephemeral as a genuine egg cream. Enough about New York. My pick for this summer's must-read novel is No Great Mischief by Alastair MacLeod, and it's set in desolate Cape Breton, Canada, where descendants of Scottish Highlanders still speak Gaelic, and the past is as omnipresent as the sea. This is the 64-year-old MacLeod's first novel. He's been celebrated in Canada for his short story collections. I wish that adjectives like luminous, spare, and haunting weren't such clichés, because they're the perfect words for No Great Mischief. The present-day storyline takes place mostly during the few hours when a middle-aged orthodontist named Alexander MacDonald visits his alcoholic older brother, who's living in a Toronto flophouse. Their brandy-fueled conversation arcs back to their childhood and beyond, to General Wolfe's Scottish troops dying on the Plains of Abraham, and to their ancestor, Caleb MacDonald, who left Scotland in 1779 with his wife and 12 children and landed in Cape Breton. There are unsentimental, poetic descriptions here of uranium miners' hands and disemboweled whales and the deaths of Alexander's parents who fell through the ice one evening crossing a not-quite-frozen sea channel. Commenting on a lesser grief, Alexander says, "Sometimes it is hard to choose or not to choose those things which bother us at the most inappropriate of times." The only thing that bothered me about No Great Mischief is that it's too slim to last the whole summer long.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Time and Again by Jack Finney, Last Days of Summer by Steve Kluger, and No Great Mischief by Alastair MacLeod. Coming up, director John Woo. His new film is Mission Impossible 2. This is Fresh Air.